because we deal with so much cold weather stuff. Just so our preparation in and of itself, as far as how we manage people, is pretty much the same. It's just we are in positions to where there's a likelihood of losing certain services. You know, what do we do in case of power goes out? So, you know, we have the ability to still feed people, care for people, those type of things, and keep people safe. You know, so earlier in the week, I called a meeting for Wednesday and with city, county, and all the other service providers, and so we and community leaders, and we got together to make sure that we understood all the resources, how we were going to handle certain things, law enforcement, everyone to understand with the homeless population what actually is going to take place. And so we had a great meeting, put a plan together, and so I feel like, you know, we have an expectation of, you know, when the severe weather hits, we're going to be okay. You kind of plan for everything that you can, but the unexpected is still the unexpected. But still, we have some things in place, even with all of that in there. I'm Michael Woods. I'm the executive director of the Western Carolina Rescue Ministry, located at 225 Patton Avenue. We're the largest emergency shelter in all of Western North Carolina. So we see the brunt of those that are the most vulnerable in our community.
And so with hurricane preparations, you're imagining a lot of the preparations resemble other kinds of code purple, you know, that might be experienced, yes, in the wintertime.
Yeah.
When looking or expecting things coming with the hurricane, do you see that there's a greater influx of people? Have people started to come already from the coast or from South Carolina? Or has this largely been a focus on the local community and how they may be affected by flooding or damage due to wind?
Yeah. I mean, you know, naturally, you know, we see the increase in traffic of people coming from the coastal areas in the eastern part of the state. But what we're not seeing, although I've talked to some of my colleagues earlier in the week on the eastern side of the state, we aren't necessarily seeing an influx of folk that are coming that were homeless there coming here. And so we're dealing with the homeless population that we have here, and there's a large part of our population in the Asheville, Buncombe County area that traditionally will not seek shelter until there's an event. And so so trying to accommodate that group and keep people safe and being able to get the word out to them that this is a very serious weather event coming forward, and making sure that the resources are kind of going towards that. Those folks that are already in the shelter, it would kind of be business as usual until, you know, if there's a loss of power or water is compromised or anything from those type things, we're kind of prepared to deal with that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's a lot of the same preparations that we do with Code Purple. It's just, you know, fortunately enough, it's not cold. I mean, there's other factors that actually come into play. No one's going to freeze to death, but there are some very dangerous situations out.
I wonder for listeners who may find themselves in a space where other shelter may be helpful, could you describe what kind of shelter facilities are available and what might be helpful for people who are seeking that to know entering in?
Yeah, so the Red Cross is going to declare there's already been a state of emergency declared in Buncombe County, and the Red Cross will open up certain shelters in certain places. So if you're currently living in a certain neighborhood, there's designated Red Cross shelters for those areas, and you and it's always good for you to know where that is ahead of time. So I would probably call the Red Cross and to find those things out if you're currently in a neighborhood. If you're homeless, you know, you're going to need to try to access shelters, whether it's our shelter or the Salvation Army. If you're a male, the way that we've made the decision to handle the anticipated influx of those needing shelter is that we're going to shelter women and children at our shelter, and an additional women and children outside of what we currently shelter. We're going to handle that group, and ABCCM is willing to use their vets quarters on Tunnel Road off of exit 55. They're going to be responsible for handling the men. And we divided that up so that it would allow us the opportunity to be able to utilize the most services, because we don't have enough shelter space for women and children. So to try to divide it up any other way, if we can take all of them, then they could take the men. The Salvation Army has some limited space for some folk, but they're not trying to take any additional. They're already full, and we are too. We just have the ability to be able to service a little more for this time. The city has a plan. The city and the county has a plan for those that are going to need help. 911 and 211 has all the resources. So if people just need to figure out what to do, where to go, and how to do it, make sure their phones are charged, all of those things. But just remember, 911 is an option if you in an emergency. 211 is the option if you need information, and they can get to everybody.
If listeners feel confident in their ability to kind of weather a storm or potentially have extra resources, are there any ways that people may be able to contribute or support the services that are already at play?
Yeah, I think so. For us right now, the one thing that we're kind of asking folk for that are paper goods, because there's a possibility that we could be without power in our area. And so that would eliminate our ability to be able to use our commercial dishwashers to sanitize things. We're still going to be able to cook. We have things in place using our gas appliances, and we have a large gas grill, and we've already pre-planned meals. So we can handle if there's an additional 50 to 100 people that showed up for meals, we can handle that. But we're anticipating the way to be able to do that is we're going to need paper plates, paper utensils, paper cups, but then just the resources of bathroom tissue and paper towels and those type things are things that we don't normally use in these type situations, because we're able to use non-paper products for our dining room area. But we're anticipating seeing a lot more people, and if that event happens, that's a resource that we're going to need, and because they won't go bad, we can always use them. So it's kind of one of those things. But we have enough blankets, we have enough cots, we have enough pillows, personal hygiene items we're really good at. And if someone wanted to donate just those items, or if they wanted to send some cash or some financially, and then designated, they could actually go to our website, which is www.westerncarolinarescue.org, or they can find us on Facebook and they can donate there and can designate it, and we will definitely use those items. So that's a way that they could really help, you know. And we have a very giving area, but there's a lot of great organizations that have come together and are collaborating in such great ways. Be Love does a phenomenal job in helping us communicate to those that we don't normally see and may not have a way of getting updates or relaying information. And so they do a great job, and we do a lot, and I'm really appreciative of the Vets Quarters standing alongside of us, and so that we can collaborate and actually do so much together and be able to help those in need. So it is pretty fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time today. I know this is a busy time in preparation.
All right, you're welcome. Okay, see you. Yep, bye bye.